بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. رأيتم ما الذي تشربون، فقال الله تعالى في مقام آخر: قل أرأيتم إن أصبح ماؤكم غورا فمن يأتيكم بماء معين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the world in such a way that He has made living things from water. According to Quran, all living things have a connection, a source, which is water. And water is so essential to all of us that when a period of time comes in which there's no rainfall, or a period of time comes in which you see a drought has hit the land, then people become very worried. I spent my last few years in Zambia. In Zambia, I was living in Lusaka, the capital, but I was living in the farming district. And there, the majority of the year doesn't rain. For 3 months, it's rainy season. Majority of the year does not rain. So when rainy season comes, everyone gets very excited. And everyone gets very worried. Because they know if the rains fall heartily in that year, if they fall well that year, then there will be good production, the crops will grow, the lands will be green. And if you've ever visited Zambia, it's very dusty. It's very dusty. And a lot of the dust, the streets will be cleaned, and people will be able to live in an enjoyable manner that year. The years that I was in Zambia, every year the rainfall was delayed. And though it did fall, the amount of rain that fell wasn't enough. Thus, the dam wasn't filled as much as they had hoped. And then we would have blackouts. We would have power outages. What do they call it again? Not blackouts. There's a term for it that we called. But you knew basically 8 hours a day, you're not going to have power. 10 hours a day. We were 2-3 days straight, no power sometimes. And people really valued water. Where I lived, we had water from a well. You had to dig very deep into the ground. They had machinery for it. And if you're fortunate enough to be in the wealthier parts, you would have a pump that would pull out the water. And if you're in an area that wasn't as wealthy, it'd be manual. And people were so determined to find an area in which they could have a successful well, a well that produced water, that sometimes they would not live in homes. They would live on the streets, but they would make sure they're near a well. Because water was scarce and sparse in some regions. If you're near Victoria Falls, obviously, there's no issue there. But if you're in the capital like I was, water wasn't easy to get to. Now, when I would see people with such a, when I was here before I left to Zambia, you would see those commercials sometimes that for only a certain amount of cents per day, you can provide a child with clean water. It never really hit home. Those pictures are there. Those photographs are there. If it's a moving picture, it might be a commercial, it's there. But when you experience it, and you see children dying because they don't have clean water, then it really hits home. Then it really hits home. The amount of disease that could be avoided if there was just water. The amount of unhygienic conditions that could easily be reversed with the presence of water was just overwhelming. And we're very fortunate. We live in the West and we have water. You just turn the tap on and it flows. And we don't have to think, did the well run dry? Did the pump break? Is the water contaminated? In most regions, we don't have to think of these things. Because we know if we just turn the water on, we can take a 20-minute shower. My last year in Zambia, we had no hot water the entire last year. My kids remember. We would warm up water. We'd have to take it to the stove. We'd plug the stove in if there was power. If not, we'd have to turn the gas on and we have to use the manual stove. And then we would heat the water. And it would get frustrating at times. So my kids, I'd make sure the water is warm for them. But for me, it'd be a 2-minute shower. I'd just quickly get water over myself if I wanted to soak myself down. If not that day, no problem. You just move on because, you know, no one likes to deal with cold water. But here you come all of a sudden, you can turn the shower on, you can adjust the nozzle, the spray, such that it's shooting with these many different options, etc. It's a whole different story. You know, we have people who can wash their cars on a daily basis. They can go to the car wash and buckets and buckets and gallons will clean their car. Which nothing's wrong with that. I'm not saying something's haram or impermissible. But when you come from one side and go to the next, you sort of begin to see how much sometimes we take for granted a basic necessity of life and a gift that's been granted to us. There would be days, and I don't mean to disgust anyone, days in which there was not water to flush the toilets. If you go to the local store, you could not buy water because everyone had purchased water. And so sometimes we'd have to resort to different measures. Because you see, when you buy a 12-pack or 16-case of bottles of water, how many of those bottles of water you're pouring literally down the drain into the toilet? Then you begin to think, you know, I need this for consumption right now. And so you have to put that aside and sort of deal with your call of nature in a different manner. It's not really as, you know, enjoyable, nor is it an experience that you want to document and tell people about upon your return. But you see this resource. An amazing resource from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now when it's very hot outside, the rains begin to fall, things get cool. When the waters are low, the levels are low, the rains begin to fall, and then the water begins to rise, and the level comes to what we want. At the same time, sometimes this resource can be very destructive. We see floods. That same water that we drink, that we enjoy, that we clean with, that we bathe with, etc., can also destroy towns upon towns. We see in the story of Nuh alayhi salam, of Noah, that what? That the water came and wiped out not just the community, but the majority of those who were living at that time, save a few who were guided to go upon the ark, who went upon the safina. This is a huge blessing that sometimes we overlook. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions something very interesting in the Quran. So far, I should have done this at the beginning. I apologize for my inability to be a good host. But I want to welcome some of our city officials who are with us here today. We have a group that has decided to accept our invitation to visit us today, and we're very honored to visit them. And so they're sitting on the stage. We'll have the opportunity perhaps to meet them afterwards. And they're just here to observe us and to see our Jumu'ah, our act of worship on Friday, our congregational prayer. So I should maybe try to translate some of this into English. So Allah, which is the term for God, the proper name, the proper noun in the Arabic language, what does Allah Ta'ala say in the Quran? He says something very interesting. He says, أَفَرَأَيْتُمُ الْمَا أَلَّذِي تَشْرَبُونَ Have you not seen the water, that which you consume, that which you drink? أَأَنْتُمْ أَنْزَلْتُمُوهُ مِنَ الْمُزْنِ أَمْ نَحْنُ الْمُنْزِلُونَ Now are you the one, O mankind, that causes it to descend and fall from its origin point, from the clouds? Or are we the ones, meaning is Allah the one who does that? So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he says, then لَوْ نَشَاءُ جَعَلْنَاهُ أُجَاجٍ فَلَوْ لَا تَشْكُرُونَ That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives a very interesting warning. And a similar warning comes at the end of Surah Mulk, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ أَصْبَحَ مَاءُكُمْ غَوْرًا فَمَنْ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِمَاءٍ مَعِينٍ that say if this water began to deplete, if it began to sink within the earth, then who would be able to bring forth for you that water? Now, why am I discussing this? The reason I'm discussing this is though we live in the comforts of Milwaukee, Greenfield, South Milwaukee, Franklin, I don't know all the terms yet, I'm still new here, but Oak Creek, etc., our neighbors across the water, across Lake Michigan, are suffering. I have family in Flint, been able to keep up with them, and they're facing such a crisis that a person would never think in a developed, quote-unquote, developed country, in a developed region, would people ever face that type of crisis? Where they are bathing in water, and I saw the color of that water. The water I used in Zambia was much purer than that. The water I drank in Zambia, which is supposed to be a third world, an underdeveloped or developing country, was much cleaner than that. We have children who are now suffering, or will be suffering, from lifelong defects. Children who will be suffering from a certain type of retardation. Families who will be suffering from lead poisoning. All because of mishaps that occurred. We're not going into the politics of it. And so sometimes we should think back and realize that when something of this magnitude occurs, all tests are also blessings. We know very clearly in hadith, in the prophetic traditions, that if a person is pricked by a thorn, that pricking of the thorn might cause them pain. It might cause them to shed blood. But also in return for that pain, they'll have their sins forgiven. A person undergoes some sort of difficulty. For example, alhamdulillah, my wife delivered a baby girl last week. That we know in hadith that the pain the mother undergoes is a cleansing of any mistakes and sins she may have committed. So when an individual undergoes difficulty, that difficulty has a grander benefit that lies in the background. And this is why Allah Ta'ala says, أَفَلَا تُبُصِرُونَ. Do you not look with insight? Because on the surface, it may seem problematic, but in the long term, there may be benefit. Now, how is there benefit here? How is there benefit for a population to have undergone such poisoning that it's going to last a certain amount of generations? How is there benefit there? Well, we know one, there's spiritual, there's ukhrawi benefit. In this world, the difficulty will lead to ease in the hereafter. But two, we also know that someone else's ease can be our difficulty. And someone else's difficulty can be our ease. What do I mean by that? In Zambia, I remember that Zesco was like the Comet of Zambia. And Zesco is rumored, and apparently it's true because they issued a statement regarding it, they would sell a lot of our electricity to neighboring countries, to Zimbabwe, to Botswana. And when they sold our electricity, it meant that we're going to have more blackouts, more power outages. So because a lot of our electricity went that direction. So for their ease came our difficulty. For their benefit came our harm. But at the same time, the flip side occurs. Like I was mentioning last night after the Isha prayer, that if you see someone on the street who is begging, who's poor, their difficulty is our opportunity. We can be those people who say, you know what, that's too bad. Keep the window rolled up, drive the next block, get onto 94 and continue home. Or we could take a moment and think, now this is a human being just like I'm a human being. And this is a brother or sister in the family of humanity, that family which I belong. And in this family, just like I would hate to see my own son or daughter, brother or sister, mother, father, friend, etc., be hurt in any way that causes them even the slightest bit of inconvenience. And any parent knows this. Some of my children are here. That if they're sick, they might not sleep, but who sleeps less when the child is sick? The parents do. Because we're up hoping, praying that they recover. The slightest cough, we get them water. The slightest cough, we get them cough medication. The slightest wheeze, we get the inhaler. The slightest dryness, we get their fluticasone, etc. We get all that stuff ready for them. One ache, one pain, we tap them back to sleep. We pat them back to sleep. Why? Because sometimes we know we need to sacrifice for someone else's comfort. So when we see that person and we have the opportunity to drive by, and we take a moment just to think that perhaps I have been made fortunate, not because of anything that I've done. And let's be honest over here. I'll tell you about myself. I have a bachelor's. I have a master's. But that bachelor's nor that master's is a means of my provision. There are many people with medical degrees who have been hit by a malpractice suit, and subsequently the practice goes down the drain. The benefit that we gain is not from our own intelligence. That is a means, a sabab. So we strive hard to do our part. Allah wants us to do our part. So we work hard, we strive hard, we study hard, we fulfill that which is within our control, then we leave the rest for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We leave the rest for God. In that same way, the money that we get is a gift from Allah, it's a gift from God, it's provisions that He's descended upon us. Those provisions could be hoarded, or we could turn to God, and I gave this example a few days ago. If I own a convenience store, and let's say I want to sell Pepsi, and then I'm contacted by the Pepsi Corporation, and they say, you own a convenience store, it's in a good location, we're going to send you 2 cases. See if you can sell 2 cases, only 2 cases within 2 weeks. We'll be back after 2 weeks. And I think to myself, these 2 cases are very valuable. So I only have 2 cases. So I'm going to hide them. I won't let anyone purchase it. That way I can keep it longer. When Pepsi Corporation sends its representative to my store and they find that those 2 cases are intact, they won't pat me on the back and say, well done, you preserved the cases. They'll say, well, you don't need us. We're not going to come back for a while because obviously in 2 weeks you couldn't sell 2 measly cases. Maybe we'll come back a year later. But if in 2 days, within 1 week, if I sell everything, I contact them and say, I've sold out, what do they do? Do they say, you've wasted our supply? You've increased the demand, how dare you? No, they're thrilled. They come with 4 cases, 6 cases, 8 cases. They come with crates upon crates saying, you are able to be a conduit from which we're able to ship, to which we're able to ship our product. It goes through you, someone else gets it. We are benefiting, they're benefiting. That's the same way provision works. We are conduits of benefit. Allah descends upon us money. He descends upon us resources, skills. Not so we can sit there and relax over them, but we could be a conduit of benefit. Someone who does not have the ability to benefit financially because of their circumstance, we can be that conduit, that pipe through which it flows and they gain that benefit. Now in Michigan, they're undergoing a huge difficulty. They're going through a difficulty of catastrophic proportions. It should be declared a national emergency. They have to literally gut and redo the infrastructure when it comes to piping. And we're only a few hours away. Now if you look at the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, what he mentioned the ummah is like, كَجَسَدٍ وَاحِدٍ, it's like one body. إِنِشْتَكَ عَيْنَهُ, if the eye complains, إِشْتَكَ كُلُّهُ, the entire body complains. وَإِنِشْتَكَ رَأْسُهُ, and if the head complains, if you have a body, there's a headache, the head complains, إِشْتَكَ كُلُّهُ, the entire body complains. When we see people complaining, there should be such a deep connection that we feel that pain. We shouldn't be sitting thinking, oh, that's too bad. But we should think, what can I do? We should think, what can I do? Because someone else's difficulty is my opportunity. And now we've been placed with an immense opportunity. Now Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ, if you are grateful to me, I will verily increase you. What does that refer to? Does that mean I just sit there saying, Alhamdulillah, I don't know. Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr. Does that what it, I just sit there doing that? Oh Allah, for you is praise and for you is gratitude. Is that what it means? By my lip service, I'm paying gratitude to Allah. It could be that meaning. But the greater meaning of gratitude is to put into action a way to display the thanks you want to show. I'll give an example. You buy me a car, I keep it in my garage. 30 years later, still in the garage. But I thank you every day for it. There's no gratitude there. It's lip service. But you buy me a car, and again, feel free. And I take it out of the garage and I drive it around to all locations I need to, you know, get to. That's gratitude. Even if I don't thank you, which is not good, you see that I'm grateful for the gift by using it properly. So now we have a certain responsibility. And that responsibility is to look at the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That He can take back a gift. So we should think, how can we be grateful for the water He's given us? Not for the clothes, not for the wealth, not for the bank accounts, not for the cars, not for the plush carpets, not for the high ceilings, not for the LED lights, not for this, not for that, not for the 401ks, etc. How can we thank Him for such a basic gift as water? And my argument is what? That we thank Him by giving water to those in need. This Sunday, Ma'ruf will be holding a program. Those of you who are familiar with Ma'ruf, it's an organization, a grassroots organization located here within Milwaukee. Started here in Milwaukee. The person who founded it was born and raised in Milwaukee. And they go out in poverty and they go and give food to the homeless. They visit the homeless shelters. They go and clean up streets. One of the activities they'll be doing this week, it's the call to duty for this month, is we're going to be packaging water. Correct, Bilal? Packaging water to be sent. So everyone should come out. We'll be packaging water at our new facility. In the South Milwaukee facility, we'll be packaging water there. Because we're going to be cleaning up. We still have some cleanup to do as well. Some of you who can attend to clean up. But because a lot of kids want to come and we can't have them clean up, we'll be getting the water ready to ship out. So that's one thing you can do. And the other thing you can do is say, you know what, I have a few extra dollars. Through those few extra dollars, I am going to do what? I am going to give money to be able to send water to our brothers and sisters in Flint. What does the Prophet ﷺ say? Al-khalqu 'iyalullah. The creation is one contingency. It's one family of God. وَحَبُّ الْخَلْقِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. And the most beloved creation to Allah. And all of us want to be there. Who here wants to be the most hated creation to God? No one would raise their hand. But if I give you the opportunity to be the most beloved creation, everyone would jump. وَحَبُّ الْخَلْقِ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَنْ أَحْسَنُ إِلَىٰ عِيَالِهِ. The most beloved creation to God, to Allah, is the one who's most beneficial to this family, creation. So at the end of the bayan, after the khutbah, so we're going to establish the adhan. The adhan will be short today. We'll pray sunnah. Then we'll call adhan. The khutbah will be very short today. And we'll pray. After prayer, I only ask of you for 5 minutes. I'll even keep the prayer short so you leave on time. My goal is always to have you out the door by 1:40. I'll get you out the door by 1:40. 5 minutes, okay? Within 5 minutes, we want to raise $5,000 to be sent to Flint. Not to Flint, to purchase bottles to be sent to Flint. Now I'm letting you know the masjid is going to write that check anyway. If we raise more than 5,000, the extra will go to the masjid, or we'll tell you we don't need that extra. We're sending 5,000 as is. So we as a community have made the promise. Now the members of the community, let's hope to fulfill that promise. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.